It is so good to be back with you again. We appreciate so much the opportunity to just kind of get away a little bit, and I really do appreciate Philip filling in for me last week. I think one of these days we're going to make a preacher out of that young man. It is good to be back with you again. One announcement that I forgot to make, because you know how my memory is, and the movie that we are going to have this afternoon, because of the threat of some nasty weather this afternoon, we're going to postpone that till next Sunday afternoon. So keep that in mind, same time next Sunday, right, Brian? So keep that in mind. No movie this afternoon, it'll be next week instead. We're talking about the gods at war, and this is where we have been over the last bunch of weeks. We're looking at a study, really trying to first of all, recognize and realize that there are gods that are at war to be able to sit on the throne of our heart. And what we're trying to do through this study is to be able to identify what those gods are so that we can dethrone them. We need to get them off of the throne of our hearts so that the only one that is there is the Lord God. Now, we have been over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the gods that are in the temple of pleasure. And we started out looking at the gods of food, and last time we talked about the gods of sex. Now, this morning, we're going to be talking about the gods of entertainment. Inside the temple of pleasure, the gods of entertainment call us in. Now, beginning of this lesson, what I want to do, I've got a video that I hope is going to play for us. I want you to watch this video for a second, and then we will continue. We have any sound? He says, the future. The little boy says, I thought children were the future. Well, now, he says, it's Xfinity, then robots, then children. Xfinity One, that's one of their new advertisements. That gives us an idea of what's happening in the world of entertainment and what our attitude is towards how important we have placed entertainment. Now, I want you to think with me for a moment this particular question. What if church were like sports? Okay? Because sports is it's a huge mega entertainment complex, isn't it? I mean, sports is calls upon us for entertainment. So think with me just for a moment this morning. What if church were like sports, okay? I mean, if church were like sports, you'd have to get here early, and you'd have to be parking a half a mile away just so that you could find a parking space in the parking lot, right? Because that's what you have to do at a lot of sports complexes. And if church were like sports, people would be in the parking lots. We'd come here in the morning, and people would have their tailgate parties going on. Yeah, they'd have their canopies up and their food out. They'd be fixing breakfast out in the parking lot here so they make sure that they're not going to miss anything if church were like sports. If church were like sports, then everyone would be arriving early because nobody wants to miss the kickoff. Right? And so people would make sure they're here in time for the kickoff. The beginning of things, when stuff starts going, nobody wants to miss the kickoff. So if church were like sports, then people would be here early for that. If church were like sports, as soon as the doors were open, people would be rushing in order to get the front row seats. You say? Right. And by the way, they pay extra for those front row seats. You say? We charge the same amount for the front row seats as we do for the ones in the back. You say? If church were like sports. If church were like sports, we'd hear somebody in the crowd would say, gee, I really hope the sermon goes into overtime today. Yeah. Yeah, if church were like sports, wouldn't that be something? If church were like sports, we'd have some some Christians who would plan ahead, you see, and they'd arrange their wardrobe and they'd sit in the crowd in such a way that they'd be able to proclaim on their wardrobe their faith and their belief in Jesus. If church were like sports,
right?
You see, if church were like sports, the atmosphere would be electrifying. People would be holding up these signs. We believe, you see. Or John 3:16. I've never seen that happen in church. I see it all the time at the sports arenas. I've never seen it happen in church. You see. But the atmosphere. People would be standing all the time. You see. And they'd be praising God if church were like sports. You know what the fastest growing religion, someone said, in America is today? It's entertainment. Entertainment, the fastest growing religion in America. Think about it for a minute, okay? Just think about it. And again, let's kind of continue with our sports analogy here, just so that we kind of get an understanding of what we're talking about here. If we take sports as an example, then think about it this way. The temples for this religion would be the stadiums. These huge mega structures that contain tens of thousands of people that gather in these temples to worship, entertainment, you see. And the gods that they go there to these temples to worship wear their names on the backs of their jerseys in this religion. And the priests of this religion, they're wearing the pinstripe, they raise their hands in prayer out there on the field. And the fans, again, they're constantly on their feet cheering and praising the gods that are on the field. And of course, everyone makes their offering at the ticket booth. Now, here's an interesting thing about this kind of religion. You see, when you go and you participate in that kind of religion, you have to pay to get in, don't you? We don't charge you until after communion, okay? I mean, you get through half the service before you have to pay here. You know what the average cost of an NFL game ticket last year was $106 and I think 60 some cents. Okay? An average Major League Baseball game ticket last year was between $20 and $41. Okay? When we make our offerings, what are we doing? Look into our wallet, we look into our purse, we take out a five, if we have one of those, we put it in the plate. What if we put turnstiles at the doors and we started charging for you to get into worship before we started? How would that affect our attendance? Think about it. Just think about it. I'm not suggesting we do that, by the way. But just think about it. Think about it, because here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about, we need to realize what we're really talking about here is a true religion, entertainment. The amount of money, the amount of time, the amount of energy that we put into being entertained in all of its forms. And yet how much of that do we put into our worship of the one true God? We don't even have to go to a stadium to worship the gods of entertainment, do we? You see, most of us can worship at the altar and the shrine that we have in our own home. You see? Now think about it with me a moment. You see, we go there. Think about how are the chairs arranged in your main TV room where that altar and that shrine is. How are they arranged? Probably in some kind of a fashion so that everybody can participate in the worship, aren't they? You see? How important is entertainment to us? in our daily lives. You realize that the average American watches 4.5 hours of television every day. Every day. If you come to Bible class, to morning worship, we don't have a Sunday evening worship on a regular basis here, but then you come to Bible class on Wednesday night, that's 3 hours a week. And we spend more than that every day watching television. The average home has more than 8 hours their television is on, and they have more than 100 channels to choose from. That's just television. You say, just television. And we watch our televisions, we worship there at the altar of entertainment, and we look for the next stars, the celebrities, and of course the next American Idol. How important is entertainment to us? You say, ask you this question. What's the topic of conversation at the water cooler at work, as the saying goes? When you go to work and you're talking to your friends, you're talking to family, you know, or what have you, what's the topic of conversation generally about? Isn't it oftentimes about, you know, what happened on last night's episode of, and you fill in the blank, you say, and then, you know, don't tell me I didn't get to see it last night, so I got it recorded, I'm going to watch it later. You say, you don't have to raise your hand, but let me just ask you, of those of you who have missed one of our lessons here since we started videotaping and live streaming, if you missed one of those, how many of you have gone back, since it's recorded, how many of you have gone back and watched that video of the lesson you missed? You say, and how many of you at the water cooler say, oh man, let me tell you about our worship service we had yesterday. The singing was great. It was so wonderful. I wish you could have been there. And let me tell you about then the lesson. It really moved me. It really inspired me a lot. Do we talk about those things? Or do we talk about what we saw on TV the night before? Or the game we went to, or whatever else, the entertainment. Hey, did you buy the latest song? Man, it's really great. You got to get it, you see. What's the topic of our conversation that our lives kind of seem to center and revolve around? Let's talk about a full and abundant life. You see, one of the things that I want to make sure that you understand is that I'm not saying that we can't be entertained, okay? In fact, entertainment is not bad and it's not good. It's amoral, okay? It's neutral. It's really the type of entertainment, and it's what we do with it that becomes problematic. Because like we've been talking about with all the other things we've been discussing in this, it's really anything that makes God compete for our time and our attention becomes an idol. And so we really have to take a good, hard look at what are we putting up against God in our lives? What are we making God compete with in our lives for our time and our attention and our money and all those other things, you see? The reality is that God wants us to enjoy life, you see. He wants us to be entertained. Think about it a minute. If God didn't want us to be entertained, then why did he make such variety in this whole universe that we live in? Why did he make it so beautiful? You just go out in nature, you think about the colors, and you think about all the different animals and bugs. I mean, bugs can bug us, can't they? But, you know, when you really start looking at bugs, you find there's some really cool varieties of bugs out there. I mean, think about a ladybug. You know? Variety that God gave us to enjoy this world that he made. And why did he make such beautiful sunsets if he didn't want us to be entertained and to enjoy this life, you see? And, you know, if God didn't have a sense of humor, why did he make bees? Okay? I mean, God has to have a sense of humor, doesn't he, in order to make something like this? And you think God doesn't want us to be entertained in life? I mean, that's funny, okay? I mean, when I saw that picture, I went, I got to put that on there. That's just entertaining. You see? But that's something God gave us as some of the variety in this beautiful, wonderful world that He put us in. He wants us to be entertained. He wants us to have a full and abundant life. In John 10 and verse 10, He says, "The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that they might have life and have it to the full." You see, Jesus didn't come just so that we would have life, just so, and talking about eternal life. He wants us to have, in some translations say, a full and abundant life. You see, read through the book of Philippians and see how many times, and I forget the number, how many times the word joy or rejoice is mentioned in the book of Philippians. And tell me that God doesn't want us to have a good time in this life. That He doesn't want us to be entertained. Of course He does. You see? But what He doesn't want is for our entertainment to come between Him and us. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Paul there says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, not to put on their hopes in wealth, which is so uncertain. Look at what he says. But to put their hope in God, who richly provides what? Everything for our enjoyment. Now notice something here in this text. He doesn't just say here that He gives us, He provides everything for our enjoyment. He says He does it richly. Okay? He richly provides it. God goes above and beyond. You see? He could have just provided some stuff for us for enjoyment, but He did it richly, Paul says. Because He wants us to enjoy life while we're here.
Amen.
But not at His expense.
Amen.
You see? Let's talk about looking for the living among the dead. Luke chapter 24 and verse 5, the women went to the tomb of Jesus on the first day of the week to anoint His body and prepare it for a proper burial. And when they arrive, what they find is the angels that are there at the tomb. And they say to the women there, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He, that is Jesus, is not here."
Right.
And now the reason that I point that out to you is because, you see, I think what's happening to us as a culture and as a world is that what we're doing is we're looking for the living, we're looking for life among the dead of the entertainment world. And as long as we look to entertainment for life and happiness, then all we're going to find is emptiness. The world promises, you say, unlimited entertainment. But as long as we're looking for that, then it's like looking at an empty tomb. He's not there. And the one that can provide real life, we're missing. Because we're spending our time and our effort and our energy and our money and everything else trying to find life in something that only provides death and emptiness. C.S. Lewis had this to say. He said, "Creatures are not born with desires unless satisfaction for those desires exists." And he talks about, for instance, he mentions a baby, and babies have hunger. And he said what's provided for to satisfy their hunger is food. And he said ducks are born with a desire to swim, and so water is provided for them to do that. And then he has this to say. "If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world." Think about that. What does that mean? God never intended for this world to provide all the satisfaction that we need. Say, And we have got to remember that. The most that the satisfaction the world can supply is temporary at best. You see? And yet we chase after the gods of entertainment like they're everything. And we're missing out on the true blessing. The gods of entertainment can't satisfy all of our desires. In fact, what they really do is they influence and they corrupt us in so many ways. Until God becomes our greatest pleasure, then all the other pleasures that we run after and seek are just like looking into that empty tomb. He's not there. He's not there. Consider for a moment the search of Solomon. Okay? Go back over to Ecclesiastes for a minute and consider this man who was the wisest and wealthiest man who's ever lived. Okay? In fact, Solomon was so wealthy, he had this photograph made of himself. Okay? Now think about it. If you were to take the amount of possessions, money and riches that Solomon had at his disposal, okay, and you convert that into today's amounts, you see, then Solomon would be wealthier. He had more than Bill Gates and Warren Buffett combined. Okay? And what he had at his disposal. And these two guys are right now some of the wealthiest men in the world. And Solomon had more at his disposal than the two of them together. So if there was anybody that had opportunity and availability to do what he did, Solomon was the guy. Okay? There was nothing that he couldn't do that he wanted to do. Okay, this is what Solomon has to say. The text that we read at the beginning, Ecclesiastes 2, 1 through 3. This is 1 through 2. He says, I thought in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I say, is foolish. And what does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was worthwhile for men to do under heaven during the few days of their lives. Now, here's what Solomon undertook in order to accomplish that. Okay? He said, I built these great gardens and these great parks, he said. And then he says, I built vineyards and fruit trees. I planted fruit trees all over the place. And I built these vast reservoirs in order to provide water for all of these things. He said, I had male and female slaves at my disposal. And I had all these herds and these flocks. And I had a treasury of gold and silver. He said, I provided for myself male and female singers. And of course, he had a harem. He had everything that a person could want in order to find pleasure and to find happiness. In verse 10, he says, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. And as I said, Solomon was a guy who could actually do that. Okay? He wasn't the kind of guy who's waiting to win the lottery so he could do that. He was a guy that could do it. And he did. And he says, my heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward for my labor. And then look at what he says in verse 11. When I surveyed all that my hands had done, and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. And all that Solomon had attempted to do to entertain himself, to find pleasure, his conclusion was, it's all meaningless. All of my efforts to find this pleasure and this happiness and this joy in this world under the sun, it was all empty. Say. The key phrase or statement in there is under the sun. which basically means it's in the world for everyone. You say, Solomon was leaving God out of the picture. And when we do that, no matter how much we have at our disposal, whether it's the 99 cents it takes you to download a song, you know, from Amazon, or whether it's the $106 it costs to get into a football game, it doesn't matter. If all our focus is on those things is under the sun, then we're going to come to the same conclusion that Solomon did. It's meaningless. Because it leaves God out of the picture. A.W. Tozer wrote a paper he called The Great Entertainment, and this is what he said. The present inordinate attachment to every form of entertainment is evidence that the inner life of modern man is in serious decline. Now, here's the interesting thing about that statement. He wrote that back in the 1950s. Yeah. In the 1950s, he saw that happen. And where are we today? Are we better or worse off?
Or worse.
You see? Here's a challenge for you. What I would call an entertainment fast. Okay? If you're up to this challenge, try this. Suppose that you were to turn off all of your entertainment sources for a week. Some of you already want to. Are you crazy? What if you were to do that? What if you were to turn off all of the devices that bring you entertainment just for a week? If you can't do it for a week, do it for a day, do it for 2 days. It doesn't matter. Just try it. Turn them all off. What will happen if you spend that time with the Lord and see if you don't come alive inside? That's a challenge for you. I don't know how many of you will take me up on that, but I throw that challenge out there. You see? Because there is another whole source of entertainment and power that you and I need to get plugged into in our lives if we really want to have life. You see? Not just living, but to have a full and abundant life in Jesus Christ. You see? So I throw that challenge out to you. I'm sure that in this morning's lesson, I have stepped on quite a few toes. And as you've heard me say before, I don't apologize for that. I stepped on my toes. I was kind of doing this back and forth while I was preparing this lesson. Stepping on my own toes quite a bit. So, I don't apologize for your sore toes. The challenge is for us to really take a good hard look and see. And to ask ourselves questions like, you know, if I were to compare how much money I spend on entertainment in a year's time, or a month's time, or a week's time, how would that compare with how much I give to the Lord? Okay, can I get an amen on that? One. You see? If I were to compare how much time I spend being entertained and looking for entertainment, whether it's TV or movies or music or whatever it is out there for entertainment, how would that time compare to how much time I give to the Lord? You see? So you see, we really have to seriously consider it when we think about it that way before we say, oh, come on, Russ, you're talking about entertainment. How harmful is that? I hope now that you see how harmful it can be if we don't have it in the right place in our lives. So I call upon you this morning to think about it and realize, look, if you've been worshiping the gods of entertainment in your life and you've been spending your time that you should be giving to the Lord, you've been focusing on that and you've been putting that competition up against, that entertainment up against God, you need to repent of that. You need to repent. Because that's an idol. in your life? As it's been in mine? The great thing is that right now you are surrounded by a family that loves you and that will encourage you, help you. If this is a God that you need to overcome and dethrone out of your heart, then you get the support right here. We want to help you. If you're here this morning and you realize you're not a Christian yet because you haven't given your life to Christ, you can do that this morning right now if that's what your desire is. If you're ready to give your life to Jesus and become His child, then confess Jesus as Lord. And repent of the sin that's separating you from Him. And be baptized into Christ. And you can do that right now. We've got water that's prepared right behind me. Don't we, Chuck? It's ready? Water's ready, right?
It's warm.
Okay. It's warm. Okay? You can do that right now. You don't have to wait if you're ready to become a Christian. All you have to do is come up and let me know. I'll be up here in the front and receive anyone. If you like prayers, you have prayer requests or need help or whatever. Ted will be in the back and receive anyone. If you'd like to have a private prayer or conversation with him, he'll be back there to receive you. We want to be able to help and to serve wherever we can. So let's stand together and see.